This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. The truth about the Jewish state as it is number one in the world in technology, agriculture, medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that it does around the world. Thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio. You're the best. Insight to Israel is over a year old. A year old. Never would have, Jay, I would have never dreamed, brother. I came here with $600 in my pocket, didn't know anyone. And Insight to Israel is over a year old. And I'd
like to say it's you, man, but there's God above making it all go down.
Absolutely. Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it takes a little bit of both. But at the same time, I am thankful that I've been blessed to be here in the Jewish state for over a year, almost 2 years. Hershey's for Heroes. We are looking at now, I've got a state U.S. director for Hershey's for Heroes, Alexander Thomas. Thank you, Alexander, for heading that up. It's going to take a huge load off of me. Americans are giving to Hershey's for Heroes, Jay, because they are Christian Zionists, many of them.
And they love chocolate.
And they love chocolate. And they're putting notes on these chocolate bars to thank the soldiers. We love you. We stand with you. We pray for you. We will fight with you to defend your homeland after 2,000 years of exile. Jay, we get to be where Moses could not. That's powerful.
We pause there for a moment. That is powerful.
What Moses could not, the leader, he brought them out. He said, God, I don't have a voice. I'm not a great speaker. I'll speak for you. God, I can't do this by myself. I'll give you help. Aaron. And sadly enough, but you know what? Moses will see it. The new Jerusalem, when the Messiah comes, Moses will finally get to see it. But we get to see in this life what he did not.
Amen. You know, it was Moses' longing to be here. That longing is eternal. That longing has sustained the Jewish people in the diaspora.
Wow.
To come home. It is because he wasn't let in. It is that prophetic understanding that the Jewish people, there'll be a time when we won't be able to come. And God forbid, we stop longing to come here.
Right.
Thank
right.
God that longing of Moses sustained for the last 2,000 years, sustained for those hundreds of generations, and now we're home.
Wow. 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 That's amazing. I'll tell you, let me say thank you, America, because you believe. You know the scripture. You believe in the Jewish state. Thank you for standing with these soldiers who risk their lives every day for the cause of freedom. Jay, if it had not been for the Jewish people receiving Torah at Mount Sinai, I would not have a constitutional bill of rights. I owe God for my internal freedom, and I owe the Jewish people for my external freedom. And Americans know that have principles, that have morals, that have a compass, that believe in Scripture. They can't be here, but they can send a message. And I'm thankful. I am so thankful for every American that sits down, that goes and purchases out of their pocket in hard times, in economic hard times. Whoever blesses thee, I will bless. That's what God told Abraham. And they sit down, they take the time to put the notes on, and they show the love to the soldiers and what a morale boost. Jay, look, you and I both grew up in the United States. I can't imagine when I have these kids look at me that are as Jewish-born Israelis and say, Michael, the shock on their face. We didn't know. The world hates us. I can't wrap my mind around it.
Gratitude and appreciation are better than gold. Gratitude and appreciation take what is a task and make it a meaningful task.
Wow, wow.
And it's meaning that sustains you.
It job.
A human being is ultimately adaptable. We can adapt to anything if there's meaning.
Right. You're right.
And that's what the famous Holocaust survivor, you know, we just had Yom HaShoah, the famous Holocaust survivor psychologist Viktor Frankl said. It's in his famous book, The Man's Search for Meaning. Who survived the camps? Who survived the death camps of Auschwitz, Majdanek, and the rest? It were those that, you know, we lost all humanity, but if we had meaning in our lives, and something different for everyone else, but that meaning sustains.
Wow.
And I think that's, I mean, Lahav deal, it's not the same level, but the beautiful idea holds. Hershey's for Heroes gives the perspective, helps the soldier. It's not fun. It's right. Not what they're doing. It's not easy.
Right, right.
They're waking up well before I wake up and going to sleep after I go to sleep.
Absolutely.
And they're running around all day, and their lives are at risk. Mine isn't. I love them and thank them for it. But it takes what could be a miserable, meaningless task and gives it the world.
Yeah, wow.
Because, you know, when you're in it, you don't see the forest from the trees. And an outsider, if I can call you an outsider, I mean, I'm from New Jersey, I'm an outsider as well. Coming here and telling them you're doing a whole to a young Israeli soldier, probably they're 18 years old,
yeah,
meaning,
yeah,
telling them from the outside, I'm coming to tell you from an outsider's perspective what you're doing is holy work, what you're doing is changing physical and spiritual reality.
Right, right.
Something as small as a Hershey bar becomes something well more than a Hershey bar.
Wow, wow.
So thank you, Michael.
Wow, wow. That, you know what, Jay, I have to say, I'm 43 years old, and I don't believe that I've found any more of a greater sense of purpose and meaning in my life until I came to this country. And I'll tell you what, brother, being with these young people, these soldiers, I didn't go in the military. But being with them gives me that, it's almost rejuvenates, revitalizes, renews my heart, my soul, my being, you know. And I'm sharing, not airing. There's times, man, it's really difficult for me. I miss my family. I don't have to be here, but I miss my family, or I'm sharing, not airing. Maybe someone promised a donation that didn't come in, and I'm like, what am I going to do? God has always provided, always. You know, at the time that I needed it the most, God has always... But, you know, you go through those tough times. But yet when I'm with those soldiers, man, I'll tell you, brother, anything that I might... Any personal little inconvenience to me as an American that I might go through becomes null and void when I look at what these soldiers have to do. It's God bless them. Thank you, America. Thank you for giving to Hershey's for Heroes. Wow, that's great stuff. Eitan, what do you got to say? You got to throw anything in there, brother?
All sounds amazing. I like chocolate, too.
Okay, so with me for today's show, which we just came through honoring those who lost their lives in the Shoah or the Holocaust, and those who survived. That was last week's show. I interviewed some folks from the organization of AMCA, which helps the Holocaust survivors spiritually, mentally, emotionally, gives them activities to do. Fantastic organization. It's not real popular. It's not well known on the map, but they do a fantastic job. But coming up is a very amazing, which, you know, some Americans might misunderstand me because I thank God for where I was born. But when I look at Israel's history, it's almost, it definitely means as much, here's the kicker, if not more, to me to celebrate Israel's Independence Day.
There is no America, there is no Western civilization without the core, the foundation of the Jewish history. The modern miracle of the new state of Israel is the culmination of that history onto bigger and greater things. And the same way the Jewish people have blessed all of Western civilization with our morals, values, spiritual truth.
Right.
Today we see the state of Israel doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Morals, values, but also physically.
Yeah.
And what Israel's contributing to the world physically is beyond compare.
Jay, by the way, I have, we're in Tel Aviv. It's a beautiful night. Beautiful. I have Jay Schultz with me. I'm sure many of you recognize his voice. I'm sure many of you recognize his voice. Jay's been on the show, Jay Schultz, two other times. This is his third round.
That's the audience clapping. Or maybe just me, I don't know. But
Jay's on his third round. And I'll tell you, I have to say, Jay, I don't see you every day. I don't talk to you every day. We both got our own thing going here. You're very successful in blessing the Olim or the young Israelis that come from other countries, especially the United States, and showing them what Israel is all about. And I'm going to let you talk about that in a little bit, but I want to say thank you for being on the show, brother.
Thank you, man. Third time. Hat trick, huh?
And it's not because I'm desperate for anyone. I just appreciate the... We get some good feedback going.
All right, I appreciate it.
We get some good, good feedback. So, Jay, I want you to do us a... just kind of do a recap for the listeners. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do here in Israel, where you're from. This is an amazing part. Yeah. Where you're from.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's exotic New Jersey, a few miles outside of Manhattan. I came here to Tel Aviv 8 years ago. I wanted to come home, literally home. By the way, I'm proud to be American. I'm very patriotic.
Right.
I really, really am. And I think America's gave me tremendous value,
right.
Tremendous ideals that in building up the state of Israel, I think Israel needs more young Jews from America like myself.
Absolutely.
To come and bring a lot of the good that America has to this place. You know, Israel's incredible, but it's still brand new.
And, 65 years.
And there's vacuums here.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that aren't... There are problems in Israel. There are vacuums. Things that aren't yet fully formed and built. And I think the young Americans specifically can come here and be such a value add. And how incredible it is to be a young anyone, a young person, and be so substantively needed, be so valued.
Right.
It's you can still, you know, everyone knows about the original pioneers who came to Israel, built the land, drained the swamps, fought the wars, made the roads, the kibbutzim, the cities.
And let me can I throw this in
real
quick?
Yeah, please.
I want to challenge the listeners. You need to do some reading. If you want to know some history about Israel, do some reading about the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah, the Edsel, Palmach, Haganah, that were all pre-1948, before the state was formed. They are the brains, the blood, and the bronze behind this country.
I'm on their shoulders. And actually, on that point, just real quick, what I do here, I'm not going to bore the listeners, they know. But listen, I run the Am Yisrael Foundation. The Am Yisrael Foundation is the umbrella for about 8 different sub-organizations here, building up international community, specifically in Tel Aviv, trying to get every young Jew in the world to move to Israel yesterday and stay here forever in happiness and health, giving back and building the land of Israel. Now, on your point of Aliyah, you know, Aliyah is still happening. You know, most Jews in the world, we got about 13 million, don't live in Israel.
Right.
Israel has 13 million holds. We need them all. And this push for Aliyah is something that the new young Jews are picking up as not just something that's nice. Tel Aviv's great, man.
Right.
Tel Aviv, if I didn't believe in the Zionist dream, if I wasn't a Jew, if I didn't believe in God and Torah, I would love Tel Aviv, right?
Right.
The beaches, the people, the food, the environment, the weather, it's all incredible.
Amazing.
But there's something more.
Right.
And the new young Jews are coming here with that idealistic pioneering spirit. And in that spirit, you know, we just had Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and we're going to talk about that a little more, but I also want to mention another holiday that passed about 2 weeks ago. It's called Yom HaAliyah. Yom HaAliyah is the newest Israeli holiday.
Yes.
It's actually in Knesset now. They're working on the bill. We lobbied and wrote the bill. Our community is a grassroots movement.
Wow.
By young Jews here in Tel Aviv. And it marks, I mean, it celebrates Aliyah as a core value of the state of Israel.
Now, do me a favor.
Yeah.
For the listener who may not know what the word Aliyah means, could you explain that?
Yeah, Aliyah is a term that is it's a Jewish spiritual concept of going up. You can make Aliyah in many different physical and spiritual ways. When you're in synagogue and you go up to read the Torah, you're both physically elevating, but you're also spiritually elevating. And so we believe that when a Jew comes from outside the land of Israel to the land of Israel, you're not just immigrating, you're actually elevating.
Right.
And that's what it means to elevate. And so the word Aliyah is something that is an enshrined core principle of the land of Israel. And the new national holiday, Yom HaAliyah, the Aliyah Day, celebrates Aliyah as this core value, but also the contributions that Olim, new young of any age, Jewish immigrants make to building up the society, building up the state. And we're excited about it. It actually marks a day that's traditionally important for this concept. It's the day in Jewish tradition that we had the first mass aliyah, when Joshua crossed the Jordan for the first time with Am Yisrael, the first time with the Jewish people.
Wow.
The first mass aliyah in history. So we're really commemorating that day that has always been and is so vital for the Jewish people.
Let me ask you. I want to get back to the point, but I need the listeners to know. I need to know. We've probably talked about this, but I have a bad memory anyway, so you can refresh me. What was your background that brought you to this point that drives you to do the things that you do here in Israel?
So, growing up in northern New Jersey, I didn't grow up very religious. I grew up with a lot of Jewish identity, whatever that meant. I think a lot of it came from the fact that my grandparents are Holocaust survivors.
Wow.
So meaningful, especially today on the holiday of commemorating the Holocaust. And just slowly, slowly, as I got older on my own.
How old are you now?
37.
Oh, wow. You're almost up with me, brother. But you'll never catch up.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You look good, though, listeners. I don't know if you know what he looks like. It's a fine-looking radio host. So, growing up in northern New Jersey, I didn't grow up religious, but the older I got, I started seeing for myself, most of my friends, Jewish friends I grew up with, were marrying non-Jews. And then I took a farther look around, and the majority of Jews in America marry not Jewish, don't care about their Jewish identity,
right.
Don't care about the state of Israel.
Right.
And I can promise you, if most Jews in America cared about the land of Israel, God and the Torah, like so many Christians do, the Messiah would have been here a long time ago.
Wow. Hey, hold on a second.
The Christian Zionist is an inspiration to us.
Listen, I'm going to tell you. Brother, I appreciate you saying that, because I'm going to tell you. I'm not looking to convert anyone. I'm not looking to make this. The reality is, if you're a Christian, this is it, brother. This is it. This is it right here. This is it. And that's what inspires me, because I'm like, what's going on in the world? This is crazy. This is yours. Yours.
Every Christian who's a real Christian knows and loves the Bible. If you have the Bible, you believe it, you got to be a Zionist.
Yeah.
There's no other choice.
Yeah.
Every Jew in the world should be an observant Zionist. And every Christian should be a Zionist, not just in the heart,
right?
Not just in the mind.
Indeed.
Because, just as important as praying with the mouth, praying with the feet, my friend.
Right.
Pray with the feet.
Wow.
You can trademark that. You can take that.
Wow, that is, that's powerful. That's powerful. That is powerful stuff. That is powerful stuff. Wow. So, What did your parents think? Because I'm sure they're not going to be negative towards you. But what did your family think? Because
no Jewish mother. I mean, there's no mother that wants their kid moving far away, or wants a kid not able to eat in their kitchen once, twice, 37 times a week.
Right.
But they're proud of me, man. They're proud. I love them, and they're proud. And they know that the future of the Jewish people is only Israel.
Right.
It's the only future we ever should have had. It's the only future practically we have. It's only future spiritually we have. And the reality is, we're just celebrating the commemoration of the Holocaust. But there's a Holocaust going on today in America, and it's called the assimilation and the intermarriage. It's a Holocaust by suicide that most American Jews just aren't aware of and don't care about. And that pains me, and that drives me today to do things that I'm doing here in Tel Aviv, to make Tel Aviv so incredibly desirable that it's the lighthouse, it's the magnet that draws every young Jew in the world to move here as soon as possible and stay here forever.
Wow, that's great stuff. It is very sad, because I know I have my Israeli friends that were born here, and their family members have gone to the States, and they go to visit Iris. You know Iris. Her family lives in L.A. Her mother's sister lives there. Her mother's sister comes here, her aunt comes here to visit, doesn't even bring the kids. Iris went to L.A. for a visit. They don't even know. I would be safe in saying, presuming, even though I don't like to, they probably don't even know where Israel is on the map. I can't fathom that. These are your people.
It's simple. Outside the land of Israel, it's not the Jews' native habitat. It isn't. And I mean that in the spiritual sense, but also the National Geographic sense.
Absolutely.
Man. You put the Jew on the cover of the National Geographic, he's got to be in Israel. And it's this land, this water, this air, the holiness is what best can actualize the Jew as an individual and the Jewish people as a nation. And when you're living outside the land of Israel, there's a darkness. There's a cloak of darkness. You know, in Yiddish, we say the word schmutz. It's this layer that wraps you in comfort, and it's warm, and it feels good. It's called materialism.
It's crime.
It's called, I'm not a fundamentalist. It doesn't have to be hedonism.
Right.
It could just be a nice car, a nice lawn.
Takes the place of God
reality,
and doing right.
Reality TV and you know, some cheap steak, and you're happy.
Right.
And when you're quote-unquote happy, it's hard to see truth sometimes, because truth isn't always fuzzy and warm and comfortable.
Right.
Truth is truth, for good or for bad. And the Jewish people to the land of Israel, the Jewish people to Torah, the Jewish people to Shabbat, the Jewish people to God, that's a marriage.
Okay.
In sickness and in health.
Right.
And happiness and sadness. I didn't know that's part of the story, but like, we're here for better or for worse.
Right.
And that's the key message to American Jewry. And
okay, let me ask you this, and because in the next segment I want to get down and talk about grassroots, what you do, and the impact that it's had between here and the U.S. Let me ask you: your family knows how you feel. Your friends know how you feel. I don't want to make it that personal, but people that you know that you grew up with that are Jewish. What did they? I'm sure they've heard your message. They're hearing it now. If they're wise, they're listening to Insight to Israel with the truth about the Jewish state. Have you ever gotten any maybe negative feedback from folks? Like, you can't tell me, because let me tell you what I hear. Because when I say on the radio show, the American Jews should come home, and I'm gonna tell you, Eitan, you're wearing a kippah, brother. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell. If you're a rabbi, this is what I'm saying, okay? I'm speaking for Michael Gano and Insight to Israel. If you're a rabbi, you should be the next Moses leading your people home.
Amen, brother.
You should be the next Moses to your synagogue. You should be raising money. I don't care if they're elderly. You bring them on your back home to the Jewish state after 2,000 years. Do you ever get any flack? Because I have some people from the United States that are here. They say, "Well, I don't want to be so judgmental." I hate that. That's the worst cop-out phrase I've ever heard. I don't want to be so judgmental. I'm gonna tell you what, brother. If I know the right thing to do and I'm not doing it, to God, it's sin. And
if you know, here's the analogy I like to give. If you know your best friend bought a lottery ticket, and he spent years and years praying to God to win that lottery, and you know, my friend,
in Christianity we don't play the lottery, but maybe we don't believe in gambling. But anyway, that's okay. That's cool.
All right. It's an analogy, man.
No, I got it.
And you know that he prayed to God and he won that $1 billion lottery. You know, the lotto hit the jackpot.
Right. All right.
You know he won the ticket.
Right.
You know he's got the numbers.
Right.
He knows he's supposed to cash in the ticket, but
right.
If he doesn't, you're not going to tell him, "Hey, buddy, maybe you should cash in that ticket. You can do a lot of good with that money."
Right. Right.
The Jews have been praying for 2,000 years to come home. God, please let me come home. God, let me win the lottery. And God, let us win. And most Jews have not cashed in that winning lottery ticket. And it pains me. And it's our job to let them know.
Absolutely.
There's a ticket in your hand, whether you remember or not.
Come home. Come home. Wow. Wow. There's something so powerful about that. Eitan, do you have anything to add? Now, I've got a good friend here. Eitan, tell us your full name.
Eitan Oye.
You got to speak up a little louder, brother.
Eitan White.
Now, where are you from, Eitan?
I'm originally from New York.
New York. Now, why did you come home to the Jewish state?
Simple, short answer is Zionism. Long
answer, listen, there's only one homeland for the Jews. There's only one place that I feel that I can be who I want to be without any sort of interference, anyone telling me otherwise, anyone trying to dictate what it is that I want to do with my life. And this is the place that I found that allows me to experience that to its fullest. And that's why I decided, just like Jay, to come home.
Yeah. Now, did you and Jay know each other?
Nope, we did not.
There's a lot of Jews in the New York metropolitan area, my friend.
Right. There used to be more in New York than there were in Israel, but that's not so
Everyone
true
loves
now.
To play Jewish geography and... But no, we did not know each other beforehand. But like we say, you know, with everyone else, you know, they have the concept of 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
I think in the Jewish world, it's more like, you know, 2.5, 3 degrees. That's better.
The Jews don't have a family tree. We got more of the family bush. You know, it's more.
Right.
If you don't know someone who knows someone that you know, then you might not actually be Jewish.
What? That's awesome. Now, do you have any family members here when you came? Did
I
you?
Do. I've. I mean, I was the first of my family members that. Come here.
First generation?
No, but listen, I had cousins here.
Okay.
And I mean immediate family. I have cousins who've been here for over 20 years, but I have three siblings, three brothers that are actually here now as well, but they came after.
They came after.
Yeah.
Leadership. Eitan. Leadership.
I actually want to say he's a modest guy. He's not going to say it, but
Eitan
came to be one of those heroes. He was a lone soldier himself.
Brother, I didn't even know that. Thank you for your service to the country. Wow.
My pleasure.
I did not know that. Thank you. Now, for the listeners who don't know what a lone soldier is, well, I honor these guys. A lone soldier is one that comes from another country with no immediate family and serves in the Israeli Defense Force with no obligation. And Eitan, that shows character. That shows integrity, brother.
It's what started me on my path here. It's something I felt I needed to do. I came here, I did it, and I stayed.
That was
the beginning and end of it.
Wow. That's great. Great stuff. So so you've had family members come since then?
Yeah. I have three brothers who are here now.
Did any of them follow in your footsteps?
Two of them have served. One finished his service, and one is finishing up in the next couple months.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you telling me about the one that's finishing up.
Yeah.
How many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers.
Three brothers. Is that it?
Two sisters.
Two. Wow. Mom and Dad were in love. Wow. That's great stuff. Wow. Wow.
What do you mean,
I'm
were?
Sorry.
They still are.
I'm bad at math. How many is that?
That is six total.
Six. Wow. Wow. The world looks at you like you're a freak if you have that many kids. You know what I mean? Seriously. Like, how do you afford that? Like, you're on welfare or something, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, my mom's heard a fair share of that, actually, yeah.
Nice. So, what about mom and dad? Like, what are they... I'm sure they're proud of you, but what's
very
the feat?
Very much. No, nothing I've done today would be possible without the support I got from them. No question.
Right.
They supported me in my decisions. As long as it wasn't absolutely insane, they pretty much allowed me to do what it is that I felt needed to be done, and that support allowed me to go forward and accomplish what I am proud to have accomplished up until today.
Wow. Wow. I'm glad you came along, brother. We're glad to have your voice on Insight to Israel.
My pleasure.
It's needed. Listen, we've got a few seconds left. And, you know, sometimes I sit and I look at guys like yourself, and I'm in awe. I'm kind of jealous. I mean, there's a part of me I wish I was Jewish, but yeah, the radio show gives me the edge. The fact that I'm not Jewish gives me the edge.
Well, listen, we're Jewish. You can be a Jew-ish. I'll give you the hyphen in there. My hyphen other brother.
Exactly. Hey, I'm thankful for you guys' friendship. Listen, this is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel, and we'll be right back.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
It's good stuff, and I'm glad to hear of your convictions, of your principles, not just from an American Jew, but an American, where a lot of people really don't stand for a whole lot anymore. Folks don't have that conviction that drives them, that keeps them awake at night, because the job isn't done. That makes their mind mull over, what can I do, what more can I do?
We all have limited breath in this life. We have X number of heartbeats. You don't know what that number is. Make it count.
Right.
Use them well.
Mm. That's good stuff. And I hope the people that are listening, if you have never been to Israel, I hope that when you're done listening to this broadcast, it will give you a hunger to be a help and a hand to the Jewish state. In some way, shape, or form, Hershey's for Heroes. And yeah, prayer is very important. That's the crux and the key that moves the heart of God, that brings about the change that's necessary. But, you know, let me say this, since we're come through the Holocaust Memorial. You know, I have a lot of Jews, and it's very unfortunate when I talk to some of these survivors, and they have a hard time with God. And I understand it. I get it. I understand, where was God? But yet, what we should be asking ourselves, because we see it all through Torah and the prophets, it's not where was God, but where was man when he should have been listening to God and been used by God?
I mean, the Torah is very clear. The Jews don't listen to God. The Jews assimilate. There'll be a smack, man. And where that smack is from the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Nazis, it's going to be a smack. I got to tell you, I heard an amazing tale from a rabbi once. He went to Loyola University, a Catholic university, and he was in a class taught by a priest. Many of them are, and it was a class on World War II. And one day, the priest professor gets to talk about the Holocaust, and he says that if I were a Jew, if the Holocaust wouldn't shake my theology, it's very clear. The Bible says time and time again, it's one of the most repeated phrases in concepts in the Torah, if the Jews don't listen to God, bad things will happen in many different forms. Bad things will happen. And as horrible as the Holocaust was, it was maybe the worst, but only one of many Holocausts throughout Jewish history. And when the Babylonians destroyed the first temple, it was the Holocaust. And the destruction of the second temple by the Romans was the Holocaust. And the Spanish Inquisition was the Holocaust. The Crusades were a Holocaust for the Jewish people.
Right.
And he says, very amazingly, you know, in fact, if the Holocaust didn't happen after that many generations of Jews in Europe. By the way, there was, you know, the Reformed Jews of Europe, there was a famous Jewish leader who famously was quoted as saying, Germany is my new Israel and Berlin is my new Jerusalem. What are you talking about?
Wow.
And so says the priest, if the Holocaust didn't happen in some form, that would have shook my faith in God. Evil knew.
Wow.
When coming to the world again in the form of the Nazis, we say Amalek,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Knew to go for the Jew again. Haman, in the story of Purim, in the book of Esther, knew to attack the Jew. And Hitler was just a new form of Haman, of Haman, new form of Amalek, knew to go for the Jew. The Jew is as the chosen people of God, not to be better than the rest of the world,
right,
but to have a unique mission.
Right.
And, you know, everyone in the world should have their own unique mission, be happy with who they are.
Right.
And the Jews aren't chosen to be better looking or smarter or wealthy or more powerful, none of those things. And we're chosen for two things only. One, to have the blessing and responsibility of receiving the Bible, receiving the Torah, and having to follow its laws and ideals, and get this little strip of desert called the land of Israel, and again, all of it for better and for worse. And for some reason, God says, you take these two things and hold on tight,
right,
and everything will be all right.
Right. Wow. And for all those listening, because I know some folks back home, brother, I see their Facebook page. And you may not understand where I'm coming from. You may. But I got some of my buddies that I went to college with, just to Bible college, and I see their Facebook page, and they're entertaining their young people. A lot of entertainment going on. A lot of entertainment in the church today. And I'm thinking to myself, my, what a shame. They're spending money. Now, again, I'm speaking to my people, and you may be able to relate to this, and if you can, throw some in. But they're taking folks out bowling, baseball games, spending their money on frivolous things that don't count for eternity. When you could be...
Oh, if they're going to Yankee games, it's okay. I'm a Yankee fan, so I...
But, and I say that
with... God's baseball team over there.
My sister would agree with you. I say that with regard to the fact that you can be spending that money, talking to your young people about Israel, and supporting the Jewish state, setting them down and letting them put a note on a chocolate bar, teaching them about the IDF, and all you have to do is pull up some videos off of YouTube and see what these young people go through when it's mandatory that they serve. But when I talk to them, they don't do it out of serving mandatorily. They do it out of love and out of commitment to their country. When we as Americans, and I'll tell you what, it gets a little fire underneath my seat, brother. When we as Americans don't know jack about sacrifice, someone else paid the price for our freedom, and we sit back lethargic, and I'm talking about even in the pew in the church, we don't even get excited about God's word anymore. We just go in, we go out, and we say amen, and that's the end of it.
And that's why, and this is for the Jews as well, you can't just pray with the mouths, man. You got to pray with the feet.
Right, right.
Got to pray with the feet. It's the deed, not just the word.
Right.
The word's good.
It is.
But if the feet don't follow, you ain't done much.
Wow, wow. Brother, we're coming from both ends. Okay, so Jay, tell us. Let's talk about the details, some of the details about some of the things. Adopt the soft, and what it means.
Yeah. Well, adopt the soft is very relevant.
Yes.
Adopt the soft. Soft, by the way, means grandmother in Hebrew. You know, we have about 185,000 Holocaust survivors left in Israel. Not much time left for this holy generation. We lose 35 a day.
Wow.
And it's amazing for me to think, as a grandson of Holocaust survivors, it's been a few years, we won't know a Holocaust survivor anymore. There's not more time left.
And history's being rewritten by the left.
That's unacceptable. But being here in Israel, where we have the largest concentration of survivors in the world, they got real problems. They got problems with food. They don't have enough food. They don't have enough medicine. They don't have enough welfare and social services. But yet the number one complaint is simple loneliness. Simple loneliness. And when I heard that, it broke my heart. And so, you know, here are our community of young Olim, meaning young Jews that immigrated, made Aliyah to Israel. We, you know, most of us come here without friends and family, and, you know, we're lonely too. And so I adopt the soft of pairs and a big brother, big sister model, young professional Jews who moved here with lonely Holocaust survivors to visit once a week, have that familial grandmother, grandfather relationship, and has done wonders for both sides. And that's a real beautiful thing. And we had an event last night. We had over 400 young Jews come into our ceremony for commemorating Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Memorial Day. It really was very touching. We heard from a survivor who came to speak to us. I mean, there's not enough that can be said about this, but
now,
listen, man, it's also about life, right? Yeah. God says very clear in the Torah, I put life and death before you. Choose life.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't think about the Holocaust. We don't dwell on it for the sadness. We don't do it just to be sad.
Right.
We do it to really embrace life, embrace existence, embrace what the true meaning of life is. And sometimes in the misery and the tragedy is that understanding. Is embracing the tragedy is embracing life.
Right. Let me ask you, maybe you can answer this question. If you can, it's all right. Is there anything being done, to your knowledge, to preserve the history, the written history of these Holocaust survivors?
Yeah. I mean, in America, to his credit, Steven Spielberg, famous Hollywood director, producer, put huge amounts of money, energy, and effort into recording survivor testimonies on video. My grandfather, for instance, was recorded, and there's this video archive now being digitized and being stored safely in UCLA archives, but also in Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Memorial Museum here in Jerusalem. And it's crucial. You can actually watch a lot of it on the internet.
Now, let me ask you, and we're gonna post your websites. But let me get something verbal. What's the websites we can go to? Even what can we do as Americans from across the sea to help you out?
So you can come to adopt a SAFTA.
SAFTA.
Yeah, ADOPTA. SAFTA.com. And reach out to us. Listen, we need everything. You know, you can also, by the way, send a Hershey bar to a Holocaust survivor. I'll hand deliver it myself.
Nice.
Oh, I don't know if they got diabetes issues. So maybe not a Hershey bar. We'll think of something else. Maybe
right.
A banana, an apple, something maybe something healthy.
Right.
But listen, anyone who's interested in working with Holocaust survivors here in Israel, and by the way, not just in Israel, in America, there's Holocaust survivors that are really in dire need your help, and we're happy to connect you to how to do that. But I want to take us now to something else we're working on.
Okay.
Because it's always about life. With our good friend Eitan White here, we have a beautiful organization called White City Shabbat.
I've been there.
White City Shabbat, by the way, a nickname. We're sitting here in Tel Aviv, the cultural capital of Israel, the business, financial, high-tech capital of Israel.
Number one.
Tel Aviv is nicknamed the White City. One of the only good things the UN's ever done is given some UNESCO Cultural World Heritage Protection to the city of Tel Aviv, because it's the largest concentration of 1920s, 30s, Bauhaus-style architectural buildings, almost all of which are painted white, and so we get the nickname White City.
Wow.
And so we decided to create this organization, White City Shabbat, Shabbat being the purity, the holiness of time, the holiness that holiday every week for the Jewish people. And it was a nice idea to connect it with the purity of the idea of white. And so White City Shabbat is an organization here in Tel Aviv that brings Jewish life to young Olim, young Jews who move here from around the world. Once a month, doing these massive Shabbat dinners, 220, 250 people.
Amazing.
We did a Passover Seder, 150 people. Torah classes, the whole deal. But we're doing something historic come this June, June 13th. We're partnering for the first ever Guinness Book of World Records largest Shabbat dinner. We're going to have 2,000 Jews in a single room.
Wow.
Under a single roof. Having a Shabbat meal, Shabbat prayer services, and Shabbat dinner.
I'm going to video the whole thing. Inside you is going to be
together in a vastly enormous, tremendous act of Jewish unity, which unfortunately is too rare these days.
Right.
Jewish unity.
Right.
Attended by the mayor of Tel Aviv.
Wow.
By the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv.
Wow.
Yisrael Meir Lau, who's actually a Holocaust survivor himself, the former chief rabbi of Israel. And first of all, we invite you all to attend Friday, June 13th. And we're excited, man. It's going
to
be big.
Yeah, I've been to your dinners, and I have to say, they're a time of reverence. They're a time of honoring God and thanking Him. And I have to tell you that I felt welcome ever since I've come here to this country. But I have made some really good friends at those Shabbat dinners. And people have... It's amazing. I feel like I'm home.
Listen, the idea of Shabbat is very unique for the Jewish people. I mean, a lot of people have the idea of Sabbath. But Shabbat, for the Jews, is something completely different. You know, many people have heard of all of the big Jewish holidays, Passover, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. But actually, in according to Jewish law, Jewish tradition, Shabbat, the weekly holiday of Shabbat, is greater than all of them. It's the most important holiday of the Jewish people, and we get it once a week as a gift from God. As a gift from God.
Wow.
And there's a famous quote by one of the early Zionist founders of the State of Israel. He was an author, a poet, a thinker. His name is Acharam. Acharam, by the way, translates as one nation. It was his pseudonym, like Mark Twain. And he had this beautiful quote that says, you know, more than the Jews kept Shabbat through the centuries, Shabbat has kept the Jews.
Right.
And it's the Jewish people connecting to Shabbat. It's not just resting. It's not just relaxing.
Right.
It's not just refraining from work. Because God didn't just refrain from creation on the seventh day.
Right.
It's a time for us to proactively connect to the meaning of God creating the universe. You know, God being the infinite everything, he doesn't just chill out on the lazy boy, man. He doesn't just put his feet up.
Right.
There is no off switch to God. There's no off switch to the Jewish people. Shabbat is that time where the Jewish people connect to the whole point of what did we do those other 6 days? Why are we working our butts off? Why are we engaged in the physical? Only for one reason, to elevate that physical to the spiritual.
Right.
And that's why on Shabbat we take what could be the lowest of things, bread. We take what could be the lowest of things, wine. The basis of things, alcohol, which can destroy life. And we elevate to the highest thing, and we say what we call kiddush, which sanctifies, makes holy the bread, makes holy the wine, and we literally raise it up to physically and symbolically and spiritually say, the whole point of creation, the whole point of existence, is to be partnered with God in making this world a more perfect place.
Wow.
And that's by elevating the physical to the spiritual.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I don't want to get into a bunch of history because we haven't got the time for that. But I will say openly, number one, as a Christian, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Now, there's some folks going to fall out with me over that, but that's too bad because this is my show, and I can say what I want. I don't have the FCC and the CIA and the FBI. I don't have to worry about them breathing down my neck. And this thing called Easter. You know, the Christians have really lost it. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to get into a bunch of historical stuff. The Catholic Church changed all that. The early Christian Church, we followed Shabbat. You guys know, we used to have blue laws in the United States that nothing was open on Sunday. Now, I actually, through my study of history, and I'm telling the truth, and if folks don't like it, they can lump it. But we ought to be following Shabbat on Friday at sundown. The Jewish calendar, that's God's timing.
I think it was an anti-Semitic pope that said, if the Jews are doing Friday night, Saturday, screw it, man. We're going Sunday. We ain't going to be like the Jews.
Right.
And what the Muslims do? Oh, I'm sorry. The Jew does Saturday? Well, I'm doing Thursday night, Friday.
Right. Right.
Let me clarify something for the listeners.
We're not comparing, because I'm going to tell you, I'm staunchly anti-Muslim. I don't hate people, but brother, I'm going to tell you what. I know the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah. That's a whole other show. But I've
got a problem with the ideology.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, or for us to be misunderstood, because I know how the left does it. We're not comparing Christianity to Islam, okay? Let's just clarify that. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm Protestant, not Catholic. And no offense to the Catholic folks who are good people.
The Catholics are good people.
History is history.
The Catholic Church.
People are good people.
Yeah, listen, the Catholic Church has been, this is a historical fact, has been the biggest pain to the Jewish people,
right.
The biggest mover of destruction and blood for the Jewish people for the majority of the last 2,000 years.
Leadership, their leadership.
And it's the leadership, and that leadership trickles down to the grassroots.
Right.
Listen, my grandfather grew up in Poland. My grandfather grew up, he actually lived in a little village between Auschwitz, the town of Auschwitz, and Krakow.
Wow.
And when I asked him today, I said, Grandpa, why did the Holocaust happen? Why, you know, where did this hatred come from? He blames the church. He says, listen, before 1939, September 39, when the Germans invaded Poland, he's like, my Christian neighbors, those kids hated me.
Wow.
That is specifically, by the way, every Easter and every Christmas, the Catholic priest would tell the kids, would tell the congregation, it's the Jew's fault. The Jew killed Jesus.
Well,
go attack him. And my grandfather was beat up as a kid before the Holocaust existed. And I can promise you, this is not me saying it, it's famous historians.
Right. I agree.
If there wasn't the existence of the church's anti-Semitism for 2,000 years in Europe, Nazism, anti-Semitism never would have come.
Totally agree. Totally agree with you. Brother, I agree with you. And let me say this. I'm going to say this to both of my friends. The Jews did not kill Jesus. Okay? That ain't the way it happened. Aside from that, listen, I agree with you. I believe that the Christians should be honoring Shabbat on sundown of Friday. Third star till it ends on Saturday. Am I correct? Third star on Saturday.
Find me arguing.
So anyway, aside from that, that's good stuff. I mean, I believe in it. That the Jewish calendar is God's timing. It's beautiful. I'm a big proponent of it.
You know, speaking of the Jewish calendar, it is actually the first law, the first mitzvah in the Torah to the Jewish nation was consecrating the calendar, consecrating time, setting the Jewish calendar.
I heard that tonight. That was great.
Yeah.
That was great stuff. Wow.
And we also just learned tonight that one of the first three laws of the creation of the State of Israel in 1948 was setting the Jewish calendar as a calendar for the State of Israel.
So all of those people who are anti-Semitic that have a Jewish conspiracy theory and say, seriously, I've been attacked by people in the United States that say, Israel was founded by communists. And so, and I know those people had somewhat of a role. The kibbutz were socialists because they had to be one in unity in order to survive.
Listen, you and I have to understand where the Jewish communists, the Jewish socialists came from. They rose out of Tsarist Russia. Tsarist
right.
Russia was
right.
painfully anti-Semitic. They were dealing with the Cossacks. They were dealing with the Tsar. They were dealing with the
Thank
Russian.
You.
They were dealing with the Russian army conscripting Jews for over 25 years. Of course they would want equality for all. Of course they would ask for equality for all men.
Right.
Now, it took it too far, but it was reactionary. It was reactionary to pain, death, blood, and destruction.
Right.
I understand the Jewish communists. I understand right. the Jewish socialists.
But it doesn't exist anymore here in Israel.
It does not.
Right.
It does not. But
so,
by the way, I also understand the Jewish hyper-capitalist, who's also looking for freedom and
right.
equality.
Right.
It goes both ways.
Right.
There are both reactions to societies that were oppressive to the individual.
It's very well put. That is very well put. Wow, that's great stuff. So, Jay, we have about 7 minutes left. Let's talk about, we have coming up a holiday, is Israel's Independence Day.
Sure.
And what should it mean to Jews in the diaspora?
I mean, come home. It should mean come home, it should mean come home, it should mean come home, 1, 2, and 3. I mean, the creation of the State of Israel is a miracle of human history. The Jews are the only people, only ancient people, to have ever been exiled and then come home. The only. We're the only people to have revived an ancient language. This is not... No, I think it was Ben Gurion, the secular first prime minister of the State of Israel, said, you know, in the Middle East, if you don't believe in miracles, you're not a realist.
Right.
And the creation of the State of Israel, the birthday of this land, is a modern miracle. And that's what we're celebrating, man. That's why we barbecue, and that's why we party all night long. And listen, the American Jew should say,
by faith.
I'm coming home. I'm going to pray with my feet. I'm going to walk to the airport. I'm going to walk to the airport, and I'm home.
If a goy, that's me, a non-Jew, can do it, if I can do it with $600 in my pocket and didn't know anyone, my friends in Washington, D.C., that are all Jewish, I got school loans, Michael. I'm not saying shirk your responsibilities. I'm saying by faith. They love to wear the kippah when AIPAC comes to town and throw up their pictures at the hotel on their Facebook page. Love it. They just feel so spiritual. I said, then come home. Put your money where your mouth is.
So everyone knows the idea of different types of Jews, right? You got the Reform Jews, conservative, Orthodox Jews.
People actually
listen,
don't.
You got the idea of observant Jews, right? Observant Judaism. The ones that following Shabbat, following kosher, wearing the kippah. That's all great, and I believe in it, for sure. I'm an observant Jew. Man, I got another thing that's super important. It's called observant Zionism. You know, Zionism can be I give a few dollars to buy an Israel bond. I come to an AIPAC conference. You know, maybe I drink some chicken soup. But now, observant Zionism, coming here, getting your hand, rolling up your sleeve, getting your hands dirty, being in the thick of it, for better or for worse.
That's love. That's love. That's commitment. That's what keeps you in a marriage. That's what keeps you in a family, what keeps a family bond. That is what gets you through the tough times, the nightmares, the funerals, the bills, the debts, the car breaking down. Those are things that get you through the tough time, that brings joy in the morning. Joy in the morning. Jay, I'll tell you what, brother. We need to bring him home. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. It may not be a choice, actually. I mean,
right. Say it again.
Listen, we just celebrated Passover.
Could you tell me
it may not be a choice. We just celebrated Passover, the holiday of Passover, commemorating the beautiful Exodus with Moses leading the Jewish people out of Egypt, and ultimately Joshua bringing them into the land of Israel. But there's something the Jewish people often forget. The Talmud, Jewish tradition, is very clear. About 80% of the Jews did not leave with Moses. It says 80% of the Jewish people died, stayed in Egypt and died during the plague of darkness.
Disobedient.
The 10 plagues.
Disobedient.
They were too connected to the land of Israel. They were too assimilated. They weren't following. They weren't connected. And God said, you don't have a choice. You're just melting away into Egypt. And they didn't leave. 20% left. That's all. 80% had no choice. Incredibly, we believe the same thing when the Jews were leaving Babylon to come back to build the second temple with Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah.
Beautiful.
Nehemiah?
Yeah. Wow.
It says about only 20% left. By the way, the Talmud says very specifically, who came, who left with Ezra and Nehemiah? It says the poor, the uneducated. It says the ones who had a little bit of money in their pockets, the ones that were a little too comfortable, those are the ones that stayed in Babylon and melted away. It was the 20% who came back to the land of Israel when they had the ability to, and they're the ones that had the merit of building the second temple.
Now, I apologize for my lack of memory, but which prophet was it? Nehemiah? They were on the wall. They had Torah in their hearts, praying to God, a sword in one hand, and they were building the walls with a trowel in the other.
You know, I don't want to get too esoteric.
Okay.
I'm just saying, listen, we're trying to put across a message, right?
Right.
Let's talk the language of the people, because not everyone knows the Bible, not everyone knows the Torah.
Right.
But here's the deal.
They ought to.
Today in America...
Shame.
But most people know very basic, simple kindergarten math.
Right.
Here's the basic kindergarten math. Taking away the handful of very Orthodox religious Jews in America, 71% of Jews in America marry not Jewish. Don't care about Israel. Most Jews have never visited Israel.
Right.
It is mathematically, not just idealistically, I got the Zionism, not just religiously, I got my Torah, but mathematically, either you come to the land of Israel today, or your grandkids won't even be Jewish to think to do so in the first place.
Jay, thank you. Hey, Tom. Love you, brother. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. The truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. God bless the United States of America and those only that stand for principle, for truth, the Constitution and Bill of Rights given to us by the hand of the Almighty through men. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
I'm Yisrael Chai.